This is another episode of Stand Up Comedy, your host and MC, celebrating 40 plus years on the fringe of show business. Stories, interviews, and comedy sets from the famous and not so famous. Here's your host and MC, Scott Edwards.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's show. It's a special anniversary edition. That's right, August 7th of 1980, I first opened my doors of Laughs Unlimited, my comedy club chain, and we were so lucky at the time to have our very first headliner be the godfather of comedy, and we have him here online today. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for George Wallace. Hey, George.
Good afternoon, good evening, good afternoon, good morning, wherever you might be. It is 2020, and we started back some time ago at the world-famous Laughs Unlimited.
Laughs Unlimited. It was Laughs Unlimited, and we were in the basement of a restaurant in Old Sacramento. The opening act was Gary Shandling. And then we had comic magician Peter DePaula in the middle. And then our first headliner was you, sir, Mr. George Wallace.
And now that has changed to Dr. George Wallace because I know what I'm doing now. But most important, Scott, but most important, thank you for having me back in the day to be your opening headliner. What a wonderful time. What a wonderful audience. What a wonderful city it was to be coming to Sacramento, and comedy was very hot and very new, and you may not remember this, but it was very sold out every show if we did not add shows. I think we did 3 shows on a Saturday. It was crazy, but it was fun. We were all new, and I just can't imagine. Most importantly, I was just watching a photo yesterday of me with my good friend, Gary Shandling. Gary Shandling, what a great friend, great guy. Have a photo of us traveling to Sacramento together, getting on a vehicle, and me pickpocketing him, taking his notes out of his pocket for his joke, coming to your club to do your club. The most important thing is that we were new, we were kids, we were excited. The club owner, Scott Edwards, was totally excited, and it was like heaven. It was like heaven being in the club. No seats open, everything sold out, food. You just couldn't ask for a better moment, making people happy. And watching Gary and watching. Now, Gary, let's make one thing perfectly clear, okay?
Sure.
Gary may have been opening the show, but Gary was also a headliner at the same time.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, that's true. He was actually already starting to headline, but it was his first show. I don't know if you knew this, George. It was the first show out of his hometown, Phoenix, Arizona, that he had done. And he was so good already that even though you were the headliner the first week in the grand opening of the Laughs Unlimited chain, he was the headliner the second week. He stayed through and headlined the next week. But Gary Shandling was definitely one of the best. And I don't know.
Wait a minute. Now you're telling me that the first week I headlined, and then the second week, he was better than me as an opener, so you thought you'd bring him back the second week to headline.
No.
And be the best.
No.
I'm just finding this information out now.
Maybe
the right thing to have done, because Gary Shandling was certainly, and still today, he's not with us, but man, is he a good friend of mine? Was he a great comedian? We've always been friends since day one to the day he departed.
Yeah, he was an amazing guy. And I don't know, just to give everybody an idea that's listening, you had already been doing comedy for 3 or 4 years and had gotten your start in New York City with Mark Schiff, Larry Miller, and Seinfeld, people like that, right?
Exactly. Well, Seinfeld and I, of course, people know that. A lot of people don't know that I'm actually the real George on Seinfeld. People don't know I'm the one that was the roommate for 13 years. People don't know that I'm the best man at Seinfeld's wedding, and a lot of people don't know that I'm even the father of Seinfeld's kids. So yes, I started off with these guys, with Mark Schiff and all of the younger comedians that you mentioned earlier, and to be able to come up to Sacramento, I never will forget, we flew up together, Gary and I flew up together, and it's just to be able to do a show and being staying in hotels, motels, you were one of the very few people to put us up in an apartment or something of the sort.
Yes.
I don't know about the hotel. And we lived together. And the club, the city of Sacramento, the people were so great, my friend. The people were so great. And just being able to do the jokes and having people walk out of the club with another line waiting to get in.
Yeah, it was. There was a real excitement about stand-up comedy at the time. I feel like I was really blessed to get into the business at that time. And just to give you a little history, George, the reason or the way I met you was that I had initially hooked up with Dave Coulier and Bob Saget, and they were giving me a lot of advice on how to open the club. And it was actually Bob Saget that introduced me to you. And said, man, you got to have this guy be your first headliner.
Well, Bob Saget is still an idiot. Let me tell you something. I talked to him the other day. He has always been an idiot. He always will be an idiot. And it's amazing that we're talking 40 years here, and we are still kids. We're still kids. Dave Coulier. Oh, my God. You're talking about some kind of camaraderie that was established back in the day, and you put up Saget's name in it. And we all still love each other just like, Scott, if we got together today, we'd talk about each other like a dog. We have no, I don't know what it is. We just love each other. We're in the comedy world is different. It's a fraternity that not many people can still do today. And just knowing Saget back in the day. And he, I'll go ahead and thank him for referring me to you. And I was just a crazy guy. I guess I was one of the hot new guys at the time. And that's why Saget said, use me.
Well, you were so funny. You were so funny, George. You were moving up through the ranks and doing TV shots ahead of some of these other guys. I mean, they're all famous now, and they all have a reputation. I mean, Seinfeld, Saget, Larry Miller, Dave Coulier, you can't top these names. But at the time, everybody was an unknown. But you, George, were already starting to get some TV spots and doing some of those early drop-ins.
I was doing everything before they were. I had 2 years on them, you know.
Right, right. And I think that was, we were just lucky to get in on that. Now, besides opening the club in 1980, you did work for me several times in the early 80s. You did have a really strong career path because you were opening up for in concert for people like Diana Ross and Smokey Robinson. You were doing a lot of big shows.
Tom Jones, you name it, Paul Anka. My ultimate goal has always been to work Las Vegas and headline Las Vegas. I was never the guy that wanted to do TV shows or do movies or anything like that. All I wanted to do was go out and do a PA, personal appearance, in front of live audiences. And when your club opened, it was the place for me. I don't know these people. And they lined up to see me. And all we had was a lot of fun. And with my personality, I know my personality is about having fun and loving everybody. I just love everybody. And at the time, you had a great, which wasn't happening at the time. I'm actually one of the first guys, and certainly the first black guy to headline your club. There was not that many black comedians in America at that time.
Oh, that's true. That's very true. You were one of the few black entertainers making the circuit at the time. It, of course, picked up a lot down the road a little bit, but you were it at the time. But you were so good at not, you know, you were one of the first people. It's interesting because there's other comics that made a career all about race. And I think one of the reasons of your early success was race never was involved in your conversation.
Never, never.
You were just funny.
And that's all that's what it's all about, you know. It wasn't race then, but now I talk about anything and everything now. I talk about, but it's, like I say, my audience today. Right now, I'm based in Las Vegas, Nevada, where I always wanted to be. Of course, I went to Las Vegas to the Flamingo back in 2004. And for 30 days, and I wound up staying there for 10 years at the Flamingo. I did not work for the hotels. I actually owned my room inside the hotel. I broke records. I've worked Las Vegas longer than any African-American entertainer in the history of Las Vegas. That includes Fox, Lena Horne, Sammy Davis Jr. I owned the room. I did all of the marketing. I did all of the advertising. They called me the new Mr. Vegas. So I achieved my goal at an early age. And everybody in my audience, young, white, black, old, hip hoppers, gangbangers, and still to this day, that's who my audience is. So I loved it then, and I loved it at the time going to your club. And I'm still working after 45 years.
It's amazing, George. You've had a great career. So let's catch the audience up. In the 80s, you were doing a lot of clubs on the road, which is a hard way to live. But then you succeeded in getting a lot of television spots, like you mentioned, The Tonight Show, The Letterman Show, and many, many others. You were doing...
Well, I did every show there was, I did it. Oprah, you name it.
Right. And then you were opening up for big names like George Benson, as we mentioned. And then you also did a lot of drop-ins on movies. I mean, haven't you made some sort of appearance in 10 or 12 movies?
No, I think it's more like 35, 36.
No, really? That many?
Yes. Anywhere from, yeah, man, you look, start looking back, you go, holy cow, man. You know, Bert Rigby, you're a fool. A good friend of mine just died, Carl Reiner. He had a movie, wanted me to come in and do a few lines on Bert Rigby, you're a fool. You got, oh my God, you can just start naming them, George Carlin, Working Trash, with George Carlin and Ben Stiller.
Wow, Ben Stiller and George Carlin, that's a great combo.
You just keep going in. I could just name everybody. And just finishing up a movie right now with Adam Sandler, Hubie Halloween, and they did a movie with the, oh my God, I've done so many movies I can't even remember. The Black Guy.
That's a good thing, George.
How about the one with the guy that I never liked, never, ever liked? You ever heard of a guy called Morgan Freeman?
Oh, yeah, Morgan Freeman.
The man with the great voice. Morgan Freeman and Tommy Lee Jones. I did a movie with them 2 years ago, and I met Morgan Freeman, and the people said, Morgan, you know George Wallace don't like you. Why you don't like me, George? Why you don't like me, George? That's because I because every role you played, I think I should have gotten that role. So we talked to him, and because he started with Glory many years ago. Morgan Freeman, we did a movie called Just Getting Started last year with Tommy Lee Jones, Renee Russo, quite a few people. What a great guy, the greatest guy in the world. I love me some Morgan Freeman. And he talked about my mama like a dog. And I tell you, just nothing but fun. And to this day, every time I see him, I always tell people I hated him because he took all my roles. And then, you know, even driving Miss Day, that what the hell, why did he get the part? Hell, I live in Atlanta. I know more about Atlanta than he does. Why didn't I get the part? But working with him, working with everybody, just, you know, I can't even start with these movies, man. But if you go online, you'll see quite a few things I've done. And
yeah,
had some fun.
And I was doing a little research getting ready for today, and everybody listening out there, there is a great George Wallace website that has his history, some videos, some audio. There's some CDs you can get, so make sure you check it out, George Wallace. Just Google it. But I want to take you back a few years, and I want to ask you a question. You remember, I know you remember, but your catchphrase in your early career was, it's a crazy world.
It's a crazy world. Jay Leno gets on me about that all the time, and it's coming back. It's a crazy world. Everything I did back in the day is coming back. God, I'm not sure when I worked for you that I wasn't doing the Reverend George Wallace when I put on a robe.
Oh.
And I became a preacher, and I had a briefcase with my Bible in the briefcase, and the Bible was a yellow page telephone book. It was called the Good Book of Bell. The Good Book of Bell. Whatever you want, look it up in the book. You want some shoes? It's in the book. Back in the day, I don't know what I was still doing that, but that's how I started. Because I was marking preachers in the Baptist church.
Well, that It's a Crazy World was a catchphrase you did for many years, but I know I was able to see you and visit you in Vegas at the Flamingo a few times, and I know that kind of faded off. It wasn't the same. You weren't using that catchphrase later in the late 90s and into the 2000s, but for about 10 years, It's a Crazy World was your catchphrase, and you made that kind of famous.
And I did, and it was on the Tonight Show and everywhere. And the name of my company, the company that I work for and that I own, is called Crazy World, Inc.
Is it really? That's perfect.
If you go to my website, it's crazy GW at a, that's my website. It's Crazy World. All of my stationery, Crazy World Inc.
So it's still out there. That's good, because I always thought that was a really good way to bring everybody. And again, it speaks to the quality of your comedy and how inclusive it was. Everybody was involved, and when you would talk about what a crazy world and then do a joke, it was something everybody could relate to.
It's a crazy world, no matter what it was. Then it changed over to sick. I think I'm sick. It's sick. It's all sick. Now, the big phrase now for the last 10, 15 years has been, I be thinking about everything.
Right.
I be thinking. And so, but that it's a crazy world. Crazy world was number one.
Yeah.
And, so you remember that. That's good.
Oh, we have great fond memories of you, George, and not only from the...
I wish we were video more back then, but we didn't have the cell phones and we didn't have the video as much as we do now. We had our little tape cassette we would carry around with us, remember? And you record your set on a tape deck and you go home with a little cassette and you run it back and you listen to it. But being able to be at your club, man, and I came up quite a few times for you, and always wonderful at your club, and it must have been you, because I don't work with bad people, okay?
Well, I appreciate that. It was something that I took a lot of pride in. In fact, it was ingrained in me by Coulier and Saget and people like Seinfeld that if you want to succeed in stand-up comedy, treat the comics well and respect them.
Exactly.
And I did that from the beginning. I was a real young kid at the time, but I went into it eyes open and learned and listened from everybody I could, tried to bring that through. And I thank you for saying so. I have had several comics say that going to Laughs Unlimited was always a pleasure because of the way they were treated, where they stayed. Everything was done right.
Well, you got to admit that comedians, people don't know, but the entertainers will always remember who the better club owners are, because we don't like club owners.
Yeah, but we are kind of the opposite end of the business.
Yes, you know what I mean? Your job is to try to make as much money as you can, and our job is to think that they're taking all the money they can from them. But we always remember, and to this day, Scott, first of all, I'm talking to you, right?
Yes.
To this day, there's still, out of 44 years of comedy, there's still less than 10 good comedy club owners.
It's incredible to be included in that. Thank you.
I didn't say you were included. I just told you that you had to come. But listen, if
you
people
got me.
Only knew, listen to me, if people only knew, see, now you got me, I'm at home now, but if I could just, you don't know how I feel right now. If I could be in Sacramento right now to meet you at the club and have people to come out to the club and listen to us do this, oh man, it'd be good to just have you on stage talking about it. And we, oh my God, could we have fun just sitting on stage, not necessarily a set, man, but it will become a set. It will become a great, a little old night in Sacramento, the night of Sacramento, just a nice little TV show. Oh my God, would that be nice?
It'd be a lot of fun. And George, you would be the perfect guest because you have a world of experience from live stage to television to movies. There's not an area of entertainment you haven't touched, and I think that's where the term the godfather of comedy comes from. You really have done it all and been there and been a good guy the whole time. And that's rare, too.
Now you said something. And you don't have to tell me that I'm a good guy. I know I'm a good guy from day one. It has nothing to do with me. Let's make that perfectly clear. I had the best parents in the world. I come from a community in Atlanta, Georgia, where it's totally respect and had nothing to do with race, color, gender. I just love people. I just love happy people. When I see happy people, it makes me happy here. It is so good. I have the best job in the world. And every night I go out on stage right now, I explain to people right now how blessed I am. God has been so good to me. Because I have a job. I just brought in like Scott, you don't understand. I walk out on stage and all I do is just lie. I just make up shit. I just lie. I just lie. And I tell the people, all I want to do, and I pray to God, all I want to do is be the greatest BS-er in the world. That's all I ever wanted to be. I want to be the greatest BS-er in the world.
Well,
but it's just all about having fun. It's all about having fun and certainly doing comedy, doing a job, honoring your essence. So many people don't get an opportunity to do what they like. You know, and like I said, 44 years, and if I could go on stage tonight, I'd be right on stage. And everywhere I go, even if I go to a city to visit, if someone's doing a concert in town, I'm walking out on that stage. I'm being their guest. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Making people happy and laughter is so good. And you're part of my history.
Well, I've always thought what was amazing about stand-up comedy, two quick points, is I think we were both blessed with being able to make a living at something we really love doing. And then two was stand-up comedy is really the only art form or entertainment form where it's just you and your thoughts. There's no props. There's no...
I got no band to make a wrong note. I got no band to look back and say, well, that's funny. It's just me.
Right.
All on me.
Yeah. And that's really not an easy thing to do. But once you have it and you have it, it really can be special. And to have you be our first opening act in 1980 was the really, I can't tell you how much it meant to me to have the right start to my comedy history now. It's been history, but in the beginning.
Why were we sold out all of those nights? I guess because you promoting the club and me being on all of the TV shows and the Tonight Show and a young guy coming up, and comedy was the new thing to do. People had heard about it. Oh, there's a comedy club, everybody. We got to go out. We got food. We got drinks. We got laughter. It was totally new form of entertainment. Not totally new because people have been going to clubs before, but it was a resurgence. Let's put it like that.
Well, it changed. Yeah, it changed from being a side gig at a jazz club to being. I mean, when I opened George, it was the 8th full-time comedy club in the entire country. Weren't that many.
Yeah, Catch a Rising Star. You had the Improv. You had the Comic Strip in New York.
The Store, Comedy Store.
And the Comedy Store. And you had maybe, what was that? Was the Punchline in San Francisco at the time?
Yes, the Punchline opened just before me in San Francisco, and then they came into Sacramento about 10 years after me.
I don't think Cobb wasn't even there then.
No. Comedy Castle, all those places, Zany's all opened up after. But it was the right start, and you were the right guy, and I just wanted to celebrate that. This, the 40th anniversary of Laughs Unlimited. Thank you, George. What I'm going to do is play a set that I have from back in about 1983 and let the my audience hear you entertain on stage. But I wanted to take one last minute and just say thank you so much for taking time out of your valuable day to be with me on this podcast and be able to connect with you. And you mentioned it earlier, it's like a family. You and I have not spoken I visited the Flamingo a couple times, but it's probably been at least 20 years, and yet talking to you today is like I saw you last week. I mean, it's incredible.
That's what it's like. That's what a real family is like. Like, if I were to call Bob Saget right now, and people don't know, he's about the nastiest comedian ever.
A lot of people don't know.
Bob Saget will call me some names right now that in an office in the place, and it's all fun. God bless. It is a family. It's a true family. So I hope you got something funny on there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You're always funny, George, and we appreciate you. And I know you're in Atlanta, and you're going to be back there for a while. But when you get back out in the West Coast or get back to Vegas, we'll hopefully get a chance to hook up.
What about Sacramento? Do you still live in Sacramento?
Well, I still do some fundraisers and concerts occasionally, but... I'm retired from comedy full-time back in 2001, and now I just do it for fun.
2001, that's 19 years ago, 20 years ago. Oh, my God.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? We don't want to say how old we've gotten. But you and I are about the same age, and it's been a great run in comedy. And
why do you sound so much younger than me?
I think it's just audio tricks.
Is that what it is? Oh, my God. So it would be good to get together and do, I hope we can do something in a revival of the...
That would be a great idea. We should do a special show and get you and some of the guys. That would be a blast.
Is my friend Jay Johnson, is he still around doing comedy?
Jay Johnson, yes, he's still around.
He had a guy, he had a puppet. It was a monkey on it. That was a monkey joke. It's a monkey joke. He used to freak me out, you know.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I could not still when he was on stage. The monkey would drive me crazy. That's a monkey joke. Yeah, I couldn't catch my breath. He just had me laughing.
We met Jay Johnson through our friend Harry Anderson, and Jay worked for us for many years. In fact, I did a short television pilot with him, and he's a great guy. And the monkey joke was one of his best bits, it's great that you remember that.
Oh my God! If I can hear that again, and if I can, I'm going to go online and try to. That's a monkey joke.
All right, George.
Okay, man. Listen, I talk a lot. Okay.
Oh no.
We'll be doing a whole show just talking on this phone here.
Well, I'm going to shift it over to some stand-up right now. I want to say thank you so much for doing this. It's been a real honor and a pleasure to talk to you after all these years. And thank you. You were always very hospitable to my wife and I when we visited you at the Flamingo. That was a really successful 10-year run for you. And I just know that you're going to continue successful. And let's see if we can put together that reunion concert. That would be a blast.
Okay, and let's make it clear, I am still in Las Vegas. I headline at the Westgate Casino. I've been there for 4 years now. I'm still doing television. I'm doing a project with Jamie Foxx for Netflix. I'm also working with the great Norman Lear. Norman Lear's birthday was yesterday. It's a brand new show with George Wallace and Laverne Cox. And Norman Lear is called Queen Slate. It's a version of Samson and Son. If you know Laverne Cox, she's a transgender person. And it's a version of... Samson and Son. He was my son when he left. He went to New York to do his thing. He came back. He knocked on the door. My son is now a she. And they did it. So we're still working. We're still out there. And if you come to Las Vegas, I'm live at the Westgate Casino. They call me the new Mr. Vegas. I'm still there.
That's great news. We'll come out and see you, and so we'll definitely get a chance to hook up, George. Thanks so much. That's great information, everybody. Go see him at the Westgate, right?
Westgate. Am I allowed to, am I going to hear the clip, or you just going to play that later?
Say that again, sir?
Am I going to hear the clip, the video of me doing that joke back in the day?
It's an audio clip, and I'll edit it in. I'm sorry, George. I don't have it right here for you.
You wasted my time. I don't even get to do the jokes. All of those jokes would be new for me. I get to do those jokes over now. You understand?
That's true. Well, I'll make sure you get a copy of this when we release it, and you'll get a chance to hear it and revamp your material.
Make sure. No, I'm serious, because I always try to write. Gary Schelling and I always talk about trying to write evergreen material. You can go back. Somebody can come and tell me today that I heard you do a joke 20 years ago, and I put it back in the act because it's still new. And the kids that come to the comedy show today, they were not even born when we started that.
Oh, I know. It's crazy, huh? It's a crazy world.
It's a crazy world. Well, I'm George Wallace. I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. And you're a little out of date, because anybody that's up to date would be Zooming this, and you would be seeing me sitting here in my underwear talking to you.
Well, maybe that's why I don't do Zoom. That's great. Well, you mentioned something that was interesting. One of the reasons I'm doing this podcast is that, to me, funny is funny. It doesn't matter if it's 5 minutes old or 25 years old. And you were funny. And it's just as funny hearing it today as it was back in 1983.
Well, thank you so much.
Looking forward to it. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank George for being on the podcast today. Stay tuned. We're going to hear a set from him in 1983.
George,
George Wallace.
This is George Wallace, ladies and gentlemen. George Wallace.
All right, folks, sit back, relax, and enjoy some great comedy from the godfather of comedy. That's right, George Wallace. Here we go.
Matter of fact, it has changed to Dr. George Wallace, D.C., Dr. Comedy. Oh. Don't you feel better, Dr.
Yeah.
George Wallace.
All right. Here we go.
You want to save some money next Christmas? Don't buy nobody nothing. That's right, don't buy. I say that every year and I always wind up spending $10 or $15. I went to Bloomingdale's and I bought some underwear for $9. That's right, I paid $9 for some drawers. Now, I know you're saying for $9. There's no way, honey, if I take my pants off, there's nothing here but a tattoo that says okay. But when I get excited, it says Oklahoma. Oklahoma City. And you wonder why we have birth control pills, huh? So, what I did, I bought the underwear for Bloomingdale's. $9, boy. I know you, like she said, I should be wearing them outside my pants, right? Can you imagine going home with your girlfriend and she wants to make love? You want me to take these off? No, baby, we got to do something else. I paid $9 for these. I only paid $5 for you. It's a crazy world. You guys see, we got a lot of hookers here tonight. But that's why I'm different than most comedians. I'm different. I like a little, I do joke sometimes to get a little boo or something like that, a little sis or something like that. So I do. So right now, why don't everybody come on, give me a real good boo? Go fuck yourself. I'm different, that's right. Comedians come out here, they try to establish a rapport with you, ask you questions like, where you from? Where you from? Where you from? I could give a shit where you from. And you don't care where I'm from either, do you? Well, we're not concerned with where we're from. We're concerned that we're here tonight to have a good time, right? All right. I'd rather be here than to be in the best hospital in town. How about you? This man is just as happy as if he were in his right mind. That's a crazy world. Yes, it is. How y'all doing, soul brother? All right, I'm representing Uptown. Okay. So I've been on so many airplanes in the last few months. I tell you the truth, even coming here, I had trouble. I had to come from San Francisco. I was up there in the Bay Area. These big lips get stuck sometimes. So I'm up there in San Francisco, right, and I stay at this black hotel called the Shona Inn. Shona!
Well, that was George Wallace live on stage from back in 1983. I'm sure you enjoyed that set, and we really appreciate George taking the time to come on this podcast on this special anniversary edition. Celebrating August 7th of 1980, the grand opening of Laughs Unlimited, my comedy club, and what led me into a really important period in my life. And I'm so happy that I've been able to share it with you, the listening audience, on this podcast. I know you enjoyed it all. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to tell your friends, share it, and we'll be back on every Sunday with a new edition. All right. That's it for this week's special edition. Take care. Be sure to rate and listen and share. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Stand Up Comedy, Your Host and MC. For information on the show, merchandise, and our sponsors, or to send comments to Scott, visit our website at www.standupyourhostandmc.com. Look for more episodes soon and enjoy the world of stand-up comedy. Visit a comedy showroom near you.